As I've been preparing for today and putting together the service for today, I was looking at all these readings and going, oh, I got to find readers. And I was also looking at it to a certain extent going, it seems like an awful lot of scripture. But then I thought about it again and realized that to a certain extent, all the scripture we have is not enough scripture to tell us everything there is to know about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was reminded of this last week and a half. Has been an amazing week and a half. I think we're up to 7 people that either I or people I've known who have passed away. I've been to 4 funerals in the last week. And it's kind of interesting, of course, when you go to the funeral, you get the little funeral folder, and it's got the little story, the obituary, the life story. And you read it, and you kind of go, oh, yeah, I remember they liked to quilt, or they did this, or they did that. And they went to this school and went to this church. And you get a realization, to a certain extent, though, of how incredibly incomplete those stories are. That they come nowhere near saying the reality of the life of the person who has passed away. On Christ, we certainly have more. We have at least 4 Gospels that tell us about Jesus Christ. But still, as I was thinking about it this week, how to a certain extent those also are incomplete. There's the great incompleteness. We have a story when he's 7, 8, 9 years old, and then we jump to when he's in his 30s. A long period of time in his life that we know nothing about. And even in the time of his ministry, about the 3 years we think he was ministering, we have far from a complete story of what took place. We've got all of the kind of mountaintop experiences. And particularly we have within the Gospels all the stories of kind of the highlights, particularly miracles and amazing things that happen. And it makes sense that we have these because for his disciples and for the people who believed in him, the important thing for them was that this was somebody who was more than just another man. This was a man who was more than just a moral teacher. This was, in fact, the Son of God. And Jesus himself emphasizes this to a certain extent when he talks about his miracles, particularly in the Gospel of John, where he talks about them being signs. And they're signs not pointing to him, but signs pointing to the God whom he serves. And so a large part of the story of Jesus that we hear is this story of Jesus reflecting God into the world and bringing God into the world. And since so many of them are miraculous, I think it has a tendency to make us think of Christ first and foremost as the Son of God, which he certainly was. But he was also a man. And I don't know if the glimpses of Jesus as a man come through as strongly as the images of Jesus as God. We see glimpses of his humanity as he weeps outside the tomb of Lazarus. We can see a few times when he becomes angry and frustrated with what is going on around him. We can see him enjoying himself. I think of when the woman came and washed his feet with the perfume. I could imagine him enjoying that and having that comfort in his life there. Which means that as Jesus approaches this week of passion, this week that will encompass his death, I think about how does he approach that, this most difficult of times. And again, I'm prompted in this past week by so many people and people talking about how they were before they passed away. And I think often we as human beings wonder about how will I face death when it comes. And as I've worked with people as a pastor for the last 20 years, you see a whole wide variety of responses as you come towards the end. Our culture understands the idea of death way back to the 1960s. We had the book, American Way of Death, and it made us start thinking about how do we live out our lives? How do we end our lives? What do we go through? In interpersonal communication last week, I had to run people through the 5 stages of grief. And we've learned these and kind of come to an understanding of how people approach things. But for Jesus, the story is much more complex. For this is a man who is also God. And as a man, I think there are 3 basic ways that we end up approaching death. One of these is we try and run away from it. How often do we try and make it so that death does not have to happen to us? We love life. And I think Christ, as a human being, loved life. He'd had these people. He'd had these relationships. He'd known all of these people. Life was something that I think was probably as precious to him as it was to anyone else. But seems like fear did not dominate in terms of him. He didn't want to die. In the garden, we heard the scripture today where he says, Father, can this cup be taken from me? But notice he finishes with the statement of, but your will must rule over everything. Not wanting to die, but more importantly, being willing to submit. If we think about it, as we approach death, usually there's nothing we can do about it. We've done it. We've done the chemotherapy. We've done the surgeries. We've done all the things we can do to try and avoid death. And it is only when it becomes inevitable that we accept it. But think of Jesus on the cross as they're mocking him and saying, if you are the Son of God, then bring yourself down from this cross. And the reality is he could have. He could have thrown aside his humanity, and he could have brought himself down from that cross. But he's obedient. He's willing to do what the Father has sent him to do. I was thinking of the other story we have in Scripture of a father sacrificing a son, the story of Abraham and Isaac. And remember in that story, what does Abraham do to Isaac? He sneaks up on him and he ties him up. He knows that Isaac is not going to passively submit to being sacrificed there. But Jesus, our Lord and Savior, does submit to the will of God. For the will of God is greater to him than his life. And that's to a certain extent why he becomes a model for us. We hear time and time again to take up our cross, but how often do we think of how serious that might actually be to take up our cross, to think of the suffering and possibly even the death that we might face? Jesus approaches the cross as one who does not want to die, but as one who is willing to die for our sakes. I like that image. I think sometimes we get a little bit too far and we make him into God in this time when he's talking to Pilate and Pilate's asking him questions. You know, there's a couple things he could have done. He could have said, he could have given the answers they wanted to hear. He could have said, no, I'm not the Son of God. And they probably would have released him. He could have gone to Herod and Pilate, and he could have given answers that would have made it happy and probably would have saved him. But he answers truthfully. He doesn't deceive. But at the same time, it's kind of interesting. I think sometimes we think of Jesus so much as God that we don't think he has any trepidation or regrets about this. When Pilate goes, well, how about if I release Barabbas? I think some people think Jesus is going to speak up and go, no, not Barabbas, me. You got to kill me. But he doesn't do that. He's waiting for the will of God to unfold in his life. I like in the early church when it was facing persecution, they faced this very issue. It was kind of interesting that there were people who were saying, well, I'm a Christian. I'm going to go to the Roman authorities and tell them I'm a Christian and make them kill me. But in a way, that's trying to take away God's plans and purposes as well as trying to run away. It's trying to force a situation. Christ does not try and force the situation, but rather he lets it evolve. He lets God be at work in that situation. And yes, I think he understands where it's going to end up. Yes, he certainly knows that his life is going to be forfeit. But he's willing to forfeit his life for the sake of the world. He's willing to be beaten and suffer for the sake of the world. In a sense, if we think of Jesus as just God, it becomes kind of easy. Yeah, he knew what was going to happen. He knew he'd be resurrected. He knew everything would be fine. But if we think of Jesus as a man, and recognize the physical pain, the suffering that he endures during this week, I think we can realize how great the magnitude is of the gift that he's given us, the blessing that he's given us. For just as none of us seek out death, but all of us in the end must submit to death. May we find the strength and the confidence in God to approach it as he did, to not live in abject fear, not be in a hurry to sacrifice ourselves, but yet having the willing and faithful patience to submit to the will of God, now and always. Amen.